This is the May 11th KPFK Local Finance Committee meeting. It is 4:07, and I'm going to call the roll. Grace Aaron?
Here.
Kim Aaron?
What?
Kim Aaron? Okay. Alan Beek?
Alan Beek is present.
Fred Blair?
Present.
Sue Cohen-Johnson? Bella DeSoto?
Present.
Raymond Goldstone? Raymond Goldstone? Okay. Michael Heiss?
Mike Heiss is here.
Dave Johnson?
Dave Johnson is present.
Steve Kaiser? Kim Kaufman, I'm Treasurer and Secretary. I'm here. Michael Novick?
Present.
King Riley? Lawrence Reyes asked to be excused. Janine Roan? Bruce Strauss?
Here.
Beth Van Gunten?
Here.
Is that here? Beth?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. John Wenger?
Present.
Okay, let me go back. Kim Aaron, Sue Cohen-Johnson, Raymond Goldstone, Steve Kaiser, King Riley, Janine Roan. Okay, well, we have quorum. Can I get somebody who will be timekeeper? Michael? Heiss, are you able to do that?
Yes, sorry, I'm at an airport. I'm not in the office, so I can't do it today.
Okay, can somebody else be a timekeeper? Well, okay, I can try and do it. So can I get a motion to approve the agenda?
Doug Barnett, I'd like to sit in.
Well, you can listen, Doug. We're also streaming it on the phone. Is that okay?
I believe he wants to be
streaming it on the streaming it on the internet.
I understand. I have to sit in for at least one meeting before I apply.
Three consecutive meetings.
Bella, you're out.
Well, whatever.
So
whatever.
You want. Did I hear somebody who wanted to say something?
Well, I was trying to respond to the request to have move the approval of the agenda. So
and
I want to move the agenda.
Doug, can you just say your name again?
Doug Barnett.
All right. I'm not seeing your thing pop up. Maybe that's
you
it.
Mean my you mean a picture of me?
No, never mind. I'm okay.
Is not the grant itself.
Okay, so Michael Novick moves the agenda. Any amendments?
There are documents.
Bella DeSoto would like to be recognized.
Okay, can people who are not speaking mute, please? I'm hearing background. Thank you. Okay, go ahead, Bella.
Yes, once again, first I have a point of order. I would like to establish the qualifying list of voting members for this committee. Then I would like to insert into the agenda that we start working out this meeting via Zoom. And this is probably the fifth or sixth time that it has been requested, so that we can be on the same page visually dealing with various documents and have better control of the meetings.
Okay, so,
write up and send a motion, Bella. That is
the
how
motion
it's done.
Has already been submitted too many times.
I didn't see it.
Yes.
I haven't.
Well,
we
it
have
doesn't
never
matter.
Gotten a motion.
Stop arguing with me. I have the floor, and I am asking for you to insert it in the agenda.
Bella,
thank you.
I need a motion in order to insert into the agenda.
It
okay, thank
motion.
You.
I would like, are you going to let me speak or not? Thank you. I would like for this agenda to include an item for us to consider starting next month to open up this meeting, committee meeting, to Zoom.
Can you put that in writing and send it to me, please?
Sure, I can do that right now.
Great. Anything else?
Yes. The other thing is we have a point of order, a continuing point of order. I would like the chair or pro tem chair, you, Madam Chair, to please outline and list who are the voting members of this committee so they can be certified and ratified.
We're going to get to that conversation when we get below to the election of permanent chair. Okay? Review of members, it's already on the agenda. Thank
okay.
you. Anybody else who would like to have an amendment?
I would like to also
no,
amend.
No, somebody else, Bella. Can somebody else speak? If somebody else wants to speak. Okay, Bella, go ahead.
Yes, I would like to amend the two motions on the agenda. One is concerning fundraising efforts. This committee has no purview in that area. Once again, this is about finances. I would like for that to be removed from the agenda.
Bella, this is out of order. It's on the agenda. We will deal with it when we get there. Okay? Anything else?
No, that's it for now.
Okay, thank you. So is the agenda approved? Any objections to approving this agenda?
Bella objects.
Okay. Anyone else? Okay, then I will note that Bella objects, but otherwise the agenda is approved.
This is Beth.
Hello, Beth. Go ahead.
If I'm not mistaken, if there's a, I do approve of the agenda, but if there is so, if there's an objection, then I think we have to go to a vote.
That is correct.
Yeah. It's
I'm sorry,
debatable whether one objection. I'll take a vote if you all want. No problem.
Having
okay.
taken this particular issue to Mr. Tatum for clarification in the past, he's the one that assured me that it doesn't take two objections, that one is sufficient to require a vote.
Well, I would need a citation, Beth, based on previous, you know, opinions. But I will absolutely do it. I don't care, you know. But
this is Janine.
Yes, Janine.
I'm just letting you know I joined the call. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Steve Kaiser, can I speak?
Yes, go ahead.
I just want to, can we take a vote on the vote? I guess that would just, this consumes a lot of time, and I think it's spurious. Maybe let Bella voice her objection, and then if it's substantive that we have to take a vote on it, then do it at that time.
Well, that was what I was going to do, but I have an objection to that, so I think we'll have to suffer through a vote. Steve.
All right. It just seems like an abominable waste of time, like most of the things that we do.
Can you go to the vote, Madam Chair?
I agree with you. I agree with you, Steve, but, you know, that's the way it goes. Okay. Who wants to vote yes on agenda approval?
Can you take the roll
Grace,
call,
how
Madam
you,
Chair?
Bella, you have not been recognized.
I called for a
Bella,
roll
you're
call.
Not recognized. Bella, you're not recognized. I am calling a vote. Grace, how do you vote? Yes to approve the agenda or no?
Yes.
Point of order.
Janine, we're in the middle of a vote. Is it relevant to this vote?
I just joined the call. So is this simply approving the agenda, or I guess
correct. But Bella objected, so
Madam Chair,
I need to call a roll.
Madam Chair, you are not explaining to Janine.
Bella, you're out of order. You have not been recognized, and I'm in the middle of a vote. Grace Aaron, you voted. Ken Aaron, are you here? Alan Beek, how do you vote? Alan Beek, do you vote to approve the agenda?
Alan Beek votes we do not need to vote if there's only one objection.
Well, I am taking a vote now. So would you like to say not voting? Okay. Fred Blair.
Yes.
Sue Cohen Johnson.
Here. And
okay, Sue, how do you vote? Do you vote to approve the agenda?
No.
Okay. Bella DeSoto.
No.
Raymond Goldstone. Michael Heiss.
Yes, approved.
Dave Johnson.
Yes.
Steve Kaiser.
Yes.
I vote yes. Michael Novick.
Yes.
This is a vote to accept the agenda as distributed?
No, with one revision.
I don't know what you're asking me to vote on.
We're just to approve the agenda. We had an objection, so we have to take a vote.
What's the revision?
I forget.
I heard a motion to adopt the agenda. There was only one objection, so we have to vote. I want to vote.
Madam Chair, you are not telling the voters what they're voting for, are you?
Yes, I am. We're voting to approve the agenda. Bella, I haven't received your motion yet. So,
as amended?
King Riley, are you here? No. Lawrence Reyes is not here. Janine Roan, how do you vote?
We do not have to take a vote for just one objection.
Okay, Alan, maybe you're right, but we're doing it. We're almost done.
I'm sorry, I will not do that. I don't understand what the amendment is.
Bella is sending a motion about Zoom to be included.
Okay, meaning a vote to whether to do the meeting by Zoom in the future or something?
Yes.
Okay, and so that's the amendment. So if I say yes, that will be included?
Either way, it's going to be included.
Okay, then I vote to yes, if it includes whatever. That's good. Thank you. Yeah.
Bruce Strauss, how do you vote?
Voting yes, I'm assuming that the issue about the fundraising is also going to be discussed. So I'm voting yes, unless I'm incorrect.
Beth Von Gooten, how do you vote?
Yes, please. Thank you.
And John Wanker.
Yes.
OK. Okay, I apologize, people, but this is where we're at. Can I get a motion to approve the minutes from March 2nd and April 13th?
So Nella moved.
Object.
So moved.
Point of order. Madam Chair, point of order, Bella DeSoto.
Yes, Bella.
There were issues that needed to be corrected. And
Bella, that's not a point of order.
And since you sent the minutes recently, I have had no time to review them.
Okay, that's not a point of order, Bella.
Therefore, I will not approve the minutes.
Okay, that is not a point of order. Does anybody have any revisions or changes to either one of the 2 minutes?
Bella DeSoto.
This is Janine. May I speak?
Would you like to be recognized, Janine?
Yes, please.
Go ahead.
I also have not had a chance to look at the minutes that came in this afternoon, so I'm hoping that we can postpone so that there's time to review them.
I will remind the group that they can be changed at a later date. So... are you making a motion to postpone that we have to vote on, or can the members approve them?
Bella motion.
What do the members want to do? What, you know?
Bella motion to postpone the vote.
Okay. Is there a second to that?
Second.
Okay. I will say that one set of minutes went out last month, so they're the same set of minutes. And I'm not sure why, you know, you're saying you haven't had a chance to review them. Nevertheless, who votes to postpone? Grace, how do you vote?
No.
Ken Aaron, not here. Alan Beek. How do you vote to postpone the minutes or approve them? I'll come back to Alan. Fred Blair, how do you vote?
To approve, yes.
Duke Cone Johnson?
Pass. I think we need clarification on what it is we're voting on, whether it's a yes or a no.
Is this a vote
on
to not vote on the accepting minutes? Is that correct?
No. Beth is correct. I am doing it wrong. Bella is moving to postpone. So a yes vote is to postpone, and a no vote is not to postpone. Thank you, Beth. I had it backwards.
Stop.
I'm going to start over because I made a mistake. Grace, how do you vote? Grace? I'll come back to Grace. Alan Beek? Do you want to postpone? Yes or no, Alan?
I vote to postpone.
Okay. Fred Blair.
No.
Duke Cohen Johnson.
Pass.
Raymond Goldstone. Michael Heiss.
Sorry, no, don't postpone.
Dave Johnson.
Dave Johnson votes no, not to postpone.
Steve Kaiser.
No, no postponing.
Kim Kaufman votes no. Michael Novick.
Yes.
King Riley, not here. Lawrence Reyes, not here. Ruth Strauss.
Abstain, thank you.
Beth Van Gruden?
No, not to postpone.
And John Wanger?
No.
And Sue?
Okay. Sue Cohen. I'm going to call you. Sue Cohen Johnson, how do you vote?
Sorry. Yes.
Okie doke, thank you.
Did you close your name, Ron?
You forgot Grace.
Grace.
And Janine Ron.
Yeah, I vote no on postponing.
Janine, how do you vote?
I vote yes to postpone, thanks.
Okay, four yes, eight no, and one abstention.
You did not call Bella. DeSoto.
How did that happen? You're correct. Bella, how do you vote?
Yes.
Okay, so it's 5-8. So we're not postponing it. Are there any other corrections?
Yes, Bella DeSoto would like to be recognized.
Go ahead, Bella.
Once again, I would like to remove the agenda item dealing with fundraising.
Bella, that's not approval of minutes, okay? We're on approval of minutes. Okay, so there are no other objections. Are there any objections to approving these 2 minutes?
Yes, Bella DeSoto, I would like to explain.
We don't take explanations. If you have a change, you know, that's what we're asking for.
I amend that you provide adjusted and state them as such, adjusted, corrected minutes for 3-2, which were the minutes in question with a number of issues that were not corrected. So for 3-2, those minutes need correction, and you need to send us a corrected version. You keep sending, rehashing the same stuff.
Okay, Bella, this is out of order. If you have a change to the minutes, please send them along. In the meantime, are there any objections to approving these minutes right now? I will take a vote. Grace, how do you vote on approving the minutes?
Yes.
Grace?
I vote yes. Yes.
Alan Beek, do you vote to approve the minutes as they are?
Yes, with the understanding that they may be amended later.
Correct. Fred Blair?
Yes.
Sue Cohen Johnson?
No.
Bella DeSoto?
No.
Raymond Goldstone? Michael Hyde?
Yes, approved.
Dave Johnson?
Yes, to approve.
Steve Kaiser?
Is it a vote, Kim?
Yes. Do you vote to approve the minutes?
I approve. Yes.
I vote yes. Michael Novick.
Not as they are. I vote to accept them with the understanding they will be corrected if necessary later.
Correct, Alan. That's correct. Michael Novick, how do you vote?
Abstain.
Janine Roan, how do you vote? Janine Roan? Okay, Ruth Strauss?
Sorry, I voted yes.
Ruth Strauss, how do you vote?
Ruth Strauss votes abstain, thank you.
Beth Van Gunten?
Yes, to approve.
You missed
and, John Wenger.
Yes, approved.
Okay. Ten to two and two abstentions. All right. Okay, so the next meeting is the end of this month. I do not think we will have new financials by then. So I would like to postpone the next meeting until for 2 weeks after that, when it is expected that we can have new financials.
Point of information.
Yes.
We are already in May. When you have refused to hold a permanent...
Bella, I can't understand you. I can't understand you. What are you saying?
You have canceled 3 meetings so far without the consultation of the full
Okay, body. this is not a request for information, Bella. This is not
you
a request
have,
for information.
It's a point of information, and
it's
I have...
It's not a point of information, Bella.
We
can people mute who are not speaking? If you want to make it, if you want to debate, go ahead. But that's not a request for information. Is there any discussion about canceling the next meeting? Okay. Novick, give me a minute. Will somebody mute because there's background noise? Thank you. Go ahead, Michael Novick.
This meeting today, having been postponed, was postponed to the same date as the Governance Committee meeting. If you postpone this next one for 2 weeks, it will again be the same date as the Governance Committee meeting. I object strenuously to having the two meetings back to back. We
okay.
have a meeting at 6 o'clock tonight, and we have the same thing.
No, no, I understand. 15. Do you have an alternate? Do you have another an alternate?
Do it at the 8th or the 22nd. I don't care, but it can't be the same day as the Governance Committee meeting, which we set at 6, based on your request to have it earlier than it used to be when it was manageable on the same day because one was at 4, one was at 7:30.
Okay, I understand, but do you want to do... You know, there was a lot of discussion early on about trying to coordinate our meetings when we had new financials to review. My opinion, and I think a lot of people on this committee, they want to come here to review the financials. I'm just saying it's likely we're not going to have them in 3 weeks. So, you know, we can leave it where it is. I heard Sue Cohen Johnson and then Beth. Is that correct?
No.
Beth. Okay, then I heard Beth.
Yes, thank you. Shall I?
May I have the floor to make a comment?
After Beth, Alan, I'll put you on the stack. Go ahead, Beth.
Thank you, Kim. Yes, I would like to say that there's a lot of value in setting a regular, predictable, coordinated time to meet and then sticking with it. And at this point in Pacifica's history, the availability of any given month's financials is irregular because there are so many other demands on the time of our business managers at NEDA. And because we can't predict when those will be available, I propose that we pick one standard, regular, predictable time and stick with it. And if it turns out we don't have new financials that day, then so be it. We have a shorter meeting. But to have it right now, it plays havoc with the rest of my schedule to have meetings scheduled and then canceled. I understand why we've done it. I understand that Kim has been trying to accommodate requests and the irregularity of the availability of information, but we've tried that now, and it does make us unpredictable. And so I would propose we pick one standard time and stick with it and handle whatever business is available at that meeting, and anything else that comes up after that, we'll wait for the next meeting.
Thank you.
I second.
I don't know.
Okay, any other discussion? Alan, I heard Alan.
Please consider that a motion. That's best. Thanks. Sorry.
Well, the motion is to keep it at the same time. Is that correct?
Yes, to pick one time and stick with it and be predictable. Thanks.
I second. Sue Cohen.
Okay. I mean, any other discussion? Alan? Alan Beek?
Yes. On the question of approving the minutes of the previous meetings, I would like to suggest that the secretary prepare the minutes and get them out several days before the Finance Committee meeting so the members can go over them and see the things they think need changing and get the secretary to change them agreeably without having to make a motion. And then when the secretary comes back, it'll be with things everybody agrees with, and we can just adopt it.
Okay.
That would be a much better procedure. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Alan. Okay. So is there any objection to Beth's motion to keep the meeting of the same for the next meeting? Okay. So no problem with that. Let me text Julia.
Hello, DeSoto. I have a question. I'm confused.
You should save it at pass.
Wait a second. I need people to ask to be recognized before speaking.
I'd like to be recognized. I'm confused as to the vote that you should place. Is it for 6 or 4?
It's the same time, as it always is.
You mean 4 o'clock. We're meeting at we're 4 o'clock. Okay, thanks.
Fred, do you have any idea why there's an echo?
There's a couple people that are contributing most of the noise. I don't want to mention names, but I'm temporarily muting them. I'm doing the best I can to keep the noise down.
Well, I don't have authority to mute people. Are they...
What should I do? There's obviously people that have problems with their phones.
Identify them so they can fix it.
Alan Beek, Steve Kaiser.
No, they can't be muted, Fred.
I'm temporarily muting them while you're talking or other people are talking.
Okay, all right. Well, can you unmute them, please?
They're not muted now.
Oh, okay. Well, there's no sound, so there's no problem.
It's intermittent. I don't know what the problem is.
Okay. Thank you, Fred.
So, Fred, I'll stop trying to make the noise. This is Steve Kaiser. I'm sorry for the background noise. I'll stop.
Okay, so I texted Julia. She should be on momentarily. I hope everybody has their P&Ls out that I sent around.
Madam Chair, this is Bella DeSoto. If I may be recognized, I just sent you my motion.
Bella, you have to wait. So, yes, you can be recognized. What do you want to say?
I just sent the body, the motion for the Zoom, for this
meeting
agenda. Okay, great.
Thank you. So, as you can see on the bottom tab, the first tab, that... for the fiscal year to date, March, the consolidated budget is 21% lower than last year. And
I'm here.
The expenses. Okay, Julia, I was just going over the your first page, the percentage change year to date. So the consolidated is 21% less revenue, and expenses are 3% less. You can. It's over to you now.
Okay. Hello, everyone. Yes, and apologize. It took me a minute to put my email up to get my code in. Yes, so as you can see, we have several units that are struggling year to date. KPFA revenue, which I know many are probably surprised to see, is down 22%. I know they tend to be kind of held up as the doing really well, and they are doing well, but versus last year, for some reason, revenue is down. KPFK, unfortunately, is down 47%. I guess fortunately or unfortunately, we have cut expenses to at least offset quite a chunk of that by 39%. KPFT revenue is down 19%. I know they have been struggling with their fund drive. WBAI is up 10%, but still having pretty serious cash flow issues. As you can see, their expenses are up 6%. I have a feeling once we finish the audit, those expenses will be a little bit lower. But again, even though they are in a better position revenue-wise than they were last year, the cash flow is still a struggle from day to day. The national office revenue is down 10%. We discussed previously some of the expenses that have attributed to their increase in expenses of 39%. That is predominantly legal fees, and a portion of that is the fees that went up some for us to take on, for NETA to take on the business manager role at KPFK. The archives is down 25%, so yeah, it's the struggle is real across the organization right now. Before I jump into the financials, I just want to kind of do a brief kind of go down the checklist. As many of you know, the fund drive started a few days ago at KPFK, and when I checked earlier a couple of hours ago, they had raised about $48,000, so averaging a little over $5,000 a day. Fortunately, happy to report, we were able to fund payroll today, but that did drop the cash down to $3,000, and of course that $3,000 has outstanding checks that are waiting to clear on that. So we are still in a day-to-day situation with cash. The important thing to think about is the fundraising piece and helping guide the decision to maintain fundraising. I know that seems to be a hot topic as to whether that should be a part of a finance committee discussion, but if KPFK is not in a fund drive, it will not be able to fund payroll. So we will see how things go the rest of the month. Knowing that cash is essentially at zero, we also have accounts payable. The aged payables balance is $171,000. So, again, very challenging. And I don't mean to be a negative Nelly, but I want to be realistic with everyone to make sure that they know how dire the situation is. If you'd like to flip over to the KPFK tab. And going to just kind of do a run through of what's been going on. If we're starting at line 8 with listener support, year-to-date listener support is down 35%.
Well, I just want to make a comment on that because this is something that everybody misses. Listener support, if you look at column R.
Right.
Line 8. You got listener support at 996, and you got website income at 336.
You're correct.
So you take
those
together,
that's
1.3, and then this year we don't have website income, so it says here the revenue is down 35% and the website is down 100%, but if you combine them, it's basically listener support in total is 50% less. Just a flat out, yeah. So just want to make that point.
Correct.
Thank you.
And I guess, you know, the same could be said for the major donor income. You can see it's a huge jump, but in reality, that's just kind of more about how we're allocating, you know, the numbers and less about there being a big jump in major gifts. So if you look at the total revenue on line 17, if I back out on line on column R, if I back out the PPP loan that came in last year, it adjusts that percentage in column AI to revenue being down 47%.
Right.
So we are still getting a good bit of cars donations in. You know, it's down, but you know, I'm happy when those deposits come in. They definitely are nice little surprises when they hit the account. And I've spoken with staff just to, you know, to reiterate to them how important it is to maintain those blurbs during their programming. So does anyone have any questions about revenue?
Was that for me?
If you want, Michael.
Thank you. I'm wondering if that's a similar ratio at the other stations as here. I didn't have a chance to look at everything in terms of the percent of revenue diminishment from the lack of the PPP. Money. It sounds like about 11% attributable to that. Is that true for the other state as well? Or?
So when I did the that first tab that has the percent change, you'll see, if you go back to that, that is adjusted for the PPP loan. So you'll see that it says that, for example, long line 5, KPFK, is down 47%. I backed out that PPP loan on all of them to come up with this the calculations on that tab. It would be, those numbers, of course, would be higher, would be, the revenue would be down more if I had left the PPP in. So I did, I guess I probably should have put a note on there that I took that out.
Okay, that's good. Thank you.
So
we could just judge operating expenses, you know.
Right. Well, or true fundraising versus, more apples to apples.
Right. Operations, not just operating expenses. We can judge the operations year to year. Did you have another question, Michael?
Yes, the question I wanted to come back to the question I raised in the email after the last call last month. There is still no tab for the affiliates unit. I was wondering what the prospects are of getting some separate accounting for that, where the money is coming in, where it's going, and so on. I realize a lot of other priorities, but that's an estimate.
Yeah, and I apologize for that, and it's unfortunate. If we do hop over to the national, the NO tab that says national operating, give everybody a second to do that, and you go to line 12, and go all the way to the far right, you'll see that their revenue is up 11%.
Wait, on mine, it says income from affiliates on line 19.
Mm-hmm. 12 on the one I'm looking at.
It's 12 on yours, you said?
Yeah.
Are you looking on the consolidated?
Yes, I'm sorry, you're right. I'm looking on consolidated. I mean, it's the same number, different line.
Right,
but yeah.
Right. But it, okay, so if you're on the national office tab,
right.
It's, so it is up 11%. And then if I were to, this might be more information than you wanted, but if just in case, if you unhide column A, oh, no, it doesn't tell you. I thought it would tell you which ones were the affiliates, but it does not have that in there. So, yeah, I will do my best to have that next time. It was all I could do to get everything going with this and the audit and everything else going on. But yes, I was happy to see that their revenue was up a little bit.
Words to the staff, just so you know.
Okay. You know, I kind of interrupted Julia's what she was going to present, so I've kind of broken my own rule. But go ahead, Ruth.
I have a couple of questions. The devil is in the details. So the first thing is, does this, and I apologize, I don't have the spreadsheet in front of me. I'm not sure if I got it or if I forgot to print it. But does this include the recent, quote-unquote, mini fund drive that was done bringing Christine Blasdale in to do extra sessions before the present fund drive?
That happened in April. Wait, am I wrong? We'll see.
I think
we had
it started late March and mostly through April.
It did.
So
it doesn't correct.
Real.
Yeah, it does. Most of that was April, I thought.
Yeah.
I am interested in getting figures as to what Christine charges, if anything, to do this. What money goes to the? She charges $5,000.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, and per session or for the whole thing?
It was I can only speak to the time period that, because I don't know how it's structured, but I know for that fund drive, it was $5,000.
Okay. So that's money going out. The other question is, this has to be broken down. What she gets, what goes to her suppliers like Boku, whatever, and the colon lady, you know, what percentage they get, and then what does KPFK get, and is, you know, are we really earning money off of that? Because while that is happening, we also, as far as I know, lose listenership. So we have to know, since we tried that out, whether it worked or it didn't work. So I feel extremely strongly about that. That's number one. Number two, and this, you know, this may pertain maybe to what's going on now, but I can let you know that I'm going to bring it up, you know, in the future, that there seem to be people who are coming in and quote unquote helping people pitch on shows. And I want to know whether those people who are helping, are they volunteering or have they been hired to help out, because when this was happening before, we tried to make it so that radio announcers did their own pitching. So I would like to know whether people who come in and assist people are getting paid as consultants or whatever. That was a problem before, and that's something that I'd like to know. So thank you very much. Appreciate all your hard work.
Sure. And I can take a stab at going ahead and answering a couple of that. I will request the list of vendors that are associated with the Blasdale pitches. I'll get that, and we should be able to run some numbers for that. So I'll work with the staff on getting that.
Yeah.
The other cost that is associated typically with the fund drives is the phone bank. They did not use the phone bank during the mini sprint, or I guess the little mini drive. They staffed that themselves.
And so I apologize. The link, the way I received the link for the fund drive don't allow me to change the fund drive in it, and I just completely forgot that they had that little mini fund drive because I have the numbers for February and May and forgot to pull the mini fund drive one. So
that's okay. No, you can do it for the next time.
I sent that out. I'll send it out again, Ruth.
Okay. Thank you, Kim. Also, on helping people pitch the shows, just so I can make sure that I understand, do you have an example? I will tell you, I, off the top of my head, since I see every invoice that comes through, I'm not saying I can always remember everything, but I do not believe that we are paying anyone to help pitch anything other than the one mentioned before. Do you have an example?
Well, that, no, if you don't see that, then, you know, then that answers it. But if there's some kind of hidden, you know, category like consultants or something like that,
no, that is not, nope.
Okay.
I respect and understand where you're coming from with that, and I have not seen that yet.
Okay, great.
The only
thing
that I have seen is I think that they've made some good relationships with some people who are assisting with them, some things.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, should we just move on and do a little review of the expenses?
Sure, and then we can take some more questions as well.
Yeah.
So, again, going back to the KPFK tab, we're going to go on down to expenses. And I do kind of like to just start with the summary, which is on line 20. I think we all are very familiar that payroll is down significantly, down 42%. And, you know, there really are not a lot of options with that. You know, they're struggling as it is with the staffing levels they have. So, you know, pretty much everything is down except some of the programming expenses. And the programming expenses are up because of the we've had to incur expenses that were not the responsibility of Pacifica when we were funded by CPB. Am I saying that right, CPB? Did I say that correctly, Kim?
I don't know.
The thing that we're... CPB. Yeah, we're having to pay ASCAP and BMI, and before we were getting the funds from what
the royalties, the music royalties, and that.
Right. Before we didn't have to pay that. Is it CPB that we are not getting the funds from any longer, and that we're trying to get?
Well, it's not the CPB funds, but because we were part of their program, they would cover those costs.
They would, okay, right. They covered those costs. So, again, it was tied to that relationship.
Right. So now we're having to pay them directly.
Right, right. So that's just the ASCAP alone is an additional $13,000. Yeah, and then the BMI is also, that's several thousand dollars. And then there's another one that is the NFCB that was about $3,000 to $3,500. So that added up pretty quickly and hit, you know, within the past couple months. So while we've cut expenses, development expenses have been down because we aren't using the consultants as much as we had in the past. For example, the pitching that we were talking about previously, we haven't been paying for as much pitching as before. So, but the program costs kind of offset some of what we've been able to accomplish with our cuts. So operating expenses, again, down 39%, but unfortunately versus revenue, when revenue is down 58%, it's
not helping. So our total net expenses of $1.137 million and a year-to-date net loss of $340,000. Now, with that loss, of course, if you go up to line 32, you see central services. We have accurately recorded those central services because we are an accrual-based accounting operation. But we have not made any payments at all on those central services this fiscal year. So when we talk about cash being, you know, essentially depending on the day, like today, not having any cash, we still, in addition to the accounts payable balance that I mentioned of, what did I say it was? 171. We also owe $250,000 in central services, and we owe about $30,000 in health premiums. Those health premiums have been covered so far by the national office. And that's not going to last much longer. They tend to be able to fund help out for a pay period, a month. But now that we're 2 months behind, that's going to be a challenge. We won't be able to continue being behind with that. So, but I do, you know, I keep that as a priority, and we've set that priority across the board for, you know, well, for everyone, but most importantly for two or three stations, that payroll comes first. Health benefits come second, and then we kind of dance between, tower rent, things that are required to keep someone on, keep stations on the air, and what are those line items. Fortunately for KPFK, those are not as significant as some of the other stations, but the cash position is such a challenge that we still do have past due balances related to keeping the station on the air when we talk about tower rent and streaming services and things like that.
Okay, are there any questions?
Bella DeSoto would like to get on the stack.
Okay.
Dave Johnson. And Dave Johnson.
Okay, I got you all. Thank you.
Okay.
Bella?
Okay, thank you. Hi, Julia. Thank you so much for all the work. As usual, I want to know, when is it that we are going to start seeing a balance sheet so that we are not continuing to see the national office and PRA payments on the P&L, so that we can have accuracy reporting exactly what is our deficit monthly. The other thing is, what is going on? Because as of 2 years ago, KPFK was supposed to have been reduced, reducing its costs, specifically with salaries, way over 30%. So that still is not at par. If we are only at this stage, only a 30% reduction with expenses. If you can address that, please. Thanks.
Okay, so I'm going to start backwards with your expenses question, just to make sure I understand. So you're thinking that expenses were supposed to be cut more than, because when I look down, if I scroll down to line 44, salaries alone have been reduced 40%. You were thinking they were supposed to be reduced more than that?
Yes, but they should have been way more than that. We should have been at about 56 to 60%.
Bella, that's not accurate. It was supposed to be cut 30%. We've gone beyond what it was supposed to be cut,
because
obviously, since it's at 42%.
Do not interrupt me. The expenses never caught up. The expenses never caught up. The rest of the expenses in the other
category. The total operating expenses are down 39%. That's over 30%, Bella, which is what was mandated 2 years ago. Okay?
But the salaries are not at par with that.
The salaries have been decreased 42%. Okay.
Can you please address, Julia, can you please answer my question?
Well, I'm not aware of what was mandated a couple of years ago. I just know that that when the previous general manager was here, he and I worked to cut expenses even more in just the past 6 months. Some of the expenses we are bound by contracts that we cannot get out of. For example, the large postage machine that costs over $5,000 a quarter, we can't get out of the contract. I've spent time, emails, phone calls trying to get out of that. We can't get out of it. You know, there are a few things like that. So, as far as salaries, I thought a 40% cut in salaries was pretty significant, especially when they're not being offset with consultants. It's not like there's some magic going on behind the scenes with that. I mean, that's
okay.
Sure.
Can we move on?
Can you please answer my other question, Julia?
Oh, about the balance sheet?
Yes, please.
Yes. So remember, okay. So the and the way you had approached it was so that you have an accurate depiction, I think, of the deficit. Is that
the
correct?
Payables, the receivables, and which is payables, is the larger portion of that. And also,
right.
We need to start accounting for receivables, meaning pledges, mm-hmm. not yet recognized.
Okay. So, talking about the payables, that's why I send the aged payables report to Stephanie, to the executive director every week. She reviews that, and I send it to Kim once a month when we have these meetings. And listen, I agree. There is an issue with the balance sheet. We cannot produce a balance sheet from the system, the accounting system that Pacifica has. As soon as we finish the audit, we'll have an updated balance sheet through 9/30. But that's why I try to provide the accounts payable aging report so that you have that and what's in the cash account. And receivables, there is little to none. Now, when the reason for that is because this is not your traditional fundraising type of place. You know, when I worked at the museum, you're correct. We recorded, when we had a pledge, we recorded that pledge and we, had a receivable. And as it was paid, that receivable amount went down on the balance sheet. We do not record the fundraising pledges that way. That's how it's done across the stations.
We've responded to this multiple times. Bella, I'm moving on to the other people who are on the stack. Dave Johnson, go ahead.
You are not responding, Julia, to why...
She has responded to this multiple times, Bella. We're hearing the same thing. We have to wait until the audit. Dave Johnson, please go ahead.
Yes, thank you. On the salaries and the personnel costs, it's nice to see that they're down, but is this because we, number one, do not have a hired program director? And number two, is our interim general manager not taking a salary for performing that job? So in other words, when we fill these positions, our costs in those areas are going to go up.
Correct.
Is that correct?
You're absolutely correct.
So our IGM is not taking a salary for doing that work, and we do not have a program director that we're paying.
Correct.
Okay, and I have a second question.
Yep.
Sorry, did you need to say something?
Development.
Go ahead.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes.
On the development expenses, is that where we have the fees from Blaisdell? Is it under expenses?
No, that would be up under administration, under line 66.
Okay, she's under administration.
Right, and so I need to see why there was something that was reversed in March, and I cannot remember what that was. And it had to do with a prior period, and I didn't want to have to post back into a prior period, so I left it there. But she was paid in April, so that's why you're not seeing it.
It just seems to me that since her entire operation for Pacifica is regarding revenue and during fund drives, I thought it would be under development and not under administration. Administration seems more like where you put the money for the GM or maybe a secretary or something. But
and I can explain that to you.
Okay.
Because I too think it's a little bizarre.
Yep.
So the way that this accounting system works is not like, I think it's not unusual. I have just not worked with one that is like this. In systems that I've worked before, you run the financials directly out of that system. With the way Great Plains works, there is a report writer that is outside of Great Plains that you have to build a template, and it pulls all of the data into it. And so for consultants, it's up in administrative expenses, but it pulls in everything. So we have program consultants, operations consultants, administrative consultants, and development consultants. But because of the way the template works, it pulls it all into line 66. So when we're working with the auditors, they see a breakdown by department code, development, program, admin. But when we run the financials, can somebody mute? I'm not sure what that weird noise is. But when we run the financials, it pulls everything into line 66. Right now, no one at Pacifica has administrative rights to be able to edit that template. And we have not been able to. It's on the list of things to get assistance with.
And thank you for that explanation. I just had one other question.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Did you want to say something?
No. I'm saying that's probably a little bit more information that you wanted, more technical information than you were probably thinking it would be. But
no, not really.
How the report writer works.
No,
Madam Chair,
really.
May I announce my presence?
Anyway, the last question I had was on the telephone expenses, the figure that you have in the last column there for March. Is that pretty much where we're going to be? I know that we are very hopeful to lower them. They are lower. Is this an accurate figure of where these telephone expenses are going to be going forward?
Sir, I wish that I could say that I knew the answer to that. I know that they are going to be I don't think they're going to be more than that. The issue is that the process that was implemented didn't turn out to function the way that we needed it to function. And so that is still being worked through. I can tell you that we are out of that large contract with TPX, where we were paying several thousand dollars a month. And we have reduced the AT&T bill significantly. That's what that credit is under column W, where we were able to get funds back and credited back.
We did
have to pick up another service that ended up being, I think it's about $1,500 a month. I'm hoping that is going to settle out. I have intentionally had to kind of take myself out of that because I really don't want to be a part of the IT team. I have enough on my plate. And so I've tried to let the staff at the national office who are working with Stephanie to finalize what's going on with that. Unfortunately, it's been a mess that they are trying to dig out of. But it will be definitely less. I mean, we will be less than what we were last year. I'm confident of that. I just can't say that $5,000 a month is going to be the number with confidence. Maybe next month I can.
This is Kim.
Well, thank you. I was just going to say thank you. That was the question. I just was curious if that was going to be more on the magnitude of that figure going forward. If it's a little higher, a little lower, that you did answer the question, because, I mean, we have had instances, as you well know, where we are paying much larger sums than that. So, yes, that was my question. You answered it fine. Thank you very much.
Well,
Madam Chair.
Yes.
Madam Chair, may I have permission to speak?
What, Raymond?
I'm announcing my presence, although I have been part of the meeting. I have not been able to get the microphone or the ability to speak.
I'm sorry for that. I don't know what happened.
Well, I just wanted to let you know I was here.
Thank you. I just want to add something about this phone. I did talk to Stuart, and he is still working on this issue to improve them, but it's going to take some money to fix the whole thing. So it's still a process. It's still in process. But, you know, we're cash poor right now, and it will require the cash. And I also want to say that some people have stated publicly that James Sagerton had something to do with this phone system, and I want to say, for the record, he had nothing to do with this. Other people did, not James Sagerton. So please refrain from blaming him for anything to do with this. Okay, any other questions?
That statement.
Excuse me, I heard somebody else.
I said Ruth to the stack.
I heard Ruth.
Did you have me on the stack from earlier? Because I asked at the same time that Dave did.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're right. Novick is next. Was there somebody else? Or was that Novick I heard? Okay, go ahead, Michael.
Yeah, I had that same question about the phones and the same information you just had, Kim. I did want to ask a couple of other questions. One is a minor thing. I think there's some kind of typo because in the prior year, the there's no employee cost for December. I think it's December, column H, whatever that is. But it's in there. It's just not typed
into
the... I think it's 103,000 or something. It's
really
in the figures. It's just not in the
column. It is kept in the total, but it's not in the day. And I wonder if I accidentally, when I was exporting everything, if I accidentally deleted that. Thank you for the catch on that.
Sure.
But fortunately, the total column is not.
Yeah, the total's wrong. They're crossing down. They're both correct. The other question I have is about the board expenses. I don't see anything. So I'm wondering if last year's election expenses were later in the year, booked later in the year than March, and whether there's any anticipation about how we can meet them for this year, later this year.
If I unhide those columns, I see that in August of last year, there were board expenses of $2,460. That actually seems a little bit low to me, but I also am not familiar with when the transition was from the national paying a lot of the election expenses to the local stations providing that. I know that the only board expenses that I'm anticipating would be related to the election, and I don't know where we are with – it's convoluted with whether or not they're rescheduling the election or not because of the cash flow situation. And I don't know if anybody else was on the board call last week. I just can't remember how that washed out.
It got sent to the election to try to come up with a schedule. All right, thank you.
Yes, sir.
Okay, Ruth, go ahead. roof.
Sorry, I had to unmute. One thing I wanted to say, and this is just for Julie to be the messenger, and I don't know anything about corporate telephones, but I do know that AT&T is the most expensive, most usurious company out there. So I'm wondering about the wisdom of having them, you know, be the phone people. Now, I'm assuming that that contract is at a national level and not at a local level. Is that correct?
I'll answer that. Ruth, these phones have been this high for the last 12 years since I got on this board and was the treasurer.
I'm not disputing that. That's not the point. The point is, you know, whether or not, you know, due diligence has been done
This has been handled by the previous GMs over the years, and I have been trying to do something about this for years.
Okay, great.
And
that, you know,
we've gotten the most forward motion on this in 12 years.
Okay.
That's my experience.
I'm just asking. All I'm doing is asking.
Right.
And, you know, I remember that some months ago, somebody pointed out that our phone expenses were much higher than KPFA.
That was me two years ago pointing that out.
We don't need to belabor it. That was all I was going to say about that. The other thing is, and this is not a gotcha, Julie, but I think you already clarified that there aren't, you know, money going out to people who help pitch. But you did say something about programming consultants, and so money, you know, paid for that. And so did you really mean program directors, or do we have program consultants? If you could just explain that. Thank you.
You know what? Sure. When I said that, I should have clarified. I was speaking about those from a company-wide, Pacifica-wide. KPFK does not have that, but there are other units that do have that.
And okay, thanks.
So, and going back to the AT&T thing, just to clarify, that's where we've had a huge cut. That's what we've been working on the past 6 months. I mean, I would say people have probably been working on it for a couple of years, but as Kim said, we actually saw some momentum with it over the past few months, and we have cut two of the accounts out completely, and that's where we were able to get some of those credits back. So yes, there a lot of the service. Not only did we get rid of TPX as a major contract, but we've also reduced AT&T significantly.
Okay, look,
but there's still work to do.
We've run over time here. You know, we have to end this meeting soon, and we have a couple of other things to deal with. So I want to thank you, Julia, and we have to move this agenda. So I let the
You're
time
very
go
welcome.
Over. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Okay. So we got to deal with this election. Now, you know, people have claimed that I have not followed the policy. I am following the policy. And not everybody's happy with that because they don't get to vote. So I don't know what you want to do about that. Any comments?
Can you list the people who are members of the committee and get to vote?
Okay. Can I move? Can I ask people to mute? Okay. Here are the people that attended all three meetings. The first three meetings: Grace Aaron, Fred Blair, Bella DeSoto, Raymond Goldstone, Michael Heiss, Sue Cohen Johnson, Dave Johnson, Steve Kaiser, me, Michael Novick, King Riley, Janine Roan, Ruth Strauss, Beth Van Gunten, and John Wenger.
This is Alan Beek. I thought I heard you go past me.
I did, Alan, because you missed the first two meetings of the year.
Well, I was mute.
So, do I have any suggestions?
Could Fred be recognized?
Yes, Fred. Go ahead, Fred.
Can you tell us who doesn't meet the three-meeting criteria? Alan Beek was one.
Kim Aaron, Lawrence Reyes, and that's it.
King Riley. Bella DeSoto,
no.
May I be recognized?
King Riley had three meetings. Go ahead, Bella.
Based on my notes, King Riley did not attend all three meetings of this year.
Okay, well, according to my notes, he did.
Okay.
May I comment?
Madam Chair, this is John Tatum. May I comment?
No, John. I heard Alan Beek. Go ahead, Alan.
Yes, the list of people you have listed on the agenda for this meeting today are the same people who have been here for 3 weeks, and I would suggest that just treat that list as the list of who are the members and who are entitled to vote is a practical way to proceed here, since we don't ever have a really good set of rules to go by yet. Thank you.
Well, I will agree we don't have a good set of rules. I don't know what to say. This policy was, many times stated that the LSB approved it, and it's what I'm working with.
Madam Chair, this is Bella DeSoto.
Go ahead, Michael Novak.
The parliamentarian asked to be recognized.
Go ahead, Michael Novak.
The policy is not only the first three meetings, but it could be three consecutive meetings later in the year. If Mr. Beek has been at three meetings subsequent to the first two, I don't know how many meetings we had. I think he would be a member.
But Michael, that's not what it is. The policy contradicts itself. The first three meetings.
No, it contradicts itself. That's why the question was raised about the policy. Why does it say advisable? That's because it says that three consecutive meetings, not only the first three consecutive meetings.
No, that's what it says, and it says that the quorum will be
Point of order.
Go ahead, Grace.
It's a waste of time to talk about a policy. Who has the policy, and can you email it to everybody on this call and also read it so we can determine for ourselves what the policy says?
Okay, I thought everybody had it multiple times, but I will send it out right now.
Please send out the...
Bella, you're not recognized.
The October 17, 2021 motion passed.
Bella, you're not recognized. That is what I am sending out to people.
Sue Stack, can you hear me?
Sue? Yes, I can hear you, Sue.
Oh, thank you. I thought I remembered that Alan Beek has been here for at least the last three meetings, the third of which is today.
Yes. I'm going to read the part of the motion that relates to this. Okay.
Kim, can you please read the whole entire policy?
Thank you.
Yes. I am sending it out. I am sending out the minutes where this was supposedly passed. And I am also sending out the red line of the... Well, maybe I shouldn't confuse you with that.
please send out the motion of 10-17-21. Thank you.
Madam Chair, may I speak?
Yes, you may.
No insult in, but I don't know whether the CAB has been appointed yet. If it has, I ask about Ruth Strauss's membership.
Uh-huh.
No insult.
Has it been, well, you can ask Beth. Beth, what is the status of the CAB? If Ruth is on the
CAB. You know what? I can settle it. The answer is I'm on it, and thank you for reminding me. And yes, I cannot vote, I believe, if that's the way, that if those are the rules. Thank you.
Well, it's not whether you can vote, but it's you can't attend this, you can't be a member of this meeting anymore.
You have to make a decision.
Okay. So.
Oh, okay. Can I attend as a listener or not even?
Well, you can't vote. I mean, you can listen to the stream.
I know I can't vote. Okay. I just want to clarify. I can't vote. I know that. Can I attend as a listener? Can I make comments as a listener? That's all I want to know.
No, you
yes.
can't participate in the meeting. I mean, you
okay.
have your cap.
That is not so. That is not so.
Okay, we'll deal with this at another time. Here is the pertinent, I'm not going to read the bylaws that Michael put in this motion. In order to regularize membership and election processes at KPFK local station board committees, the LSB adopts the following policy protocol. LSB and non-LSB members who comply with these processes will be considered to be hereby appointed, blah, blah, blah. In adopting this policy, the LSB recognizes the following standing committees. Okay. Number one, the LSB committees are generally open to listener and staff members, KPFK, in good standing to participate. Unless a particular meeting is a closed session, blah, blah, blah. Two, meetings and methods of participation shall be posted on KPFTX, on the KPF website, and announced at LSB meetings and on periodic LSB reports to the listeners. Members who wish to participate on standing open LSB committees are encouraged to attend the first three committee meetings of the year during which committee membership is established. All LSB committees must have at least two LSB members. Except for committees where membership is by election, such as management search and evaluation committees, all LSB members up to a maximum of 12 who attend the first three meetings or any three subsequent meetings will be considered committee members in good standing and eligible to vote. Any non-LSB member who is a listener and or staff member in good standing of KPFK who attends the first three regular meetings of a committee during which committee membership is established will be considered a committee member in good standing and eligible to vote. Until the maximum is reached, non-LSB members of the LSB may also join by attending any three consecutive meetings. So we have contradictions here where the membership is established at the first three meetings, but then, you know, not so much. If it gets bigger, if they exceed the maximum, selection will be by lot. All those attending committee meetings and respecting common rules of decorum will have voice when recognized by the chair. Membership of the committee will be set at the third meeting, inclusive of all LSB and non-LSB members who haven't attended all three meetings, which will determine the quorum for future meetings. 50% plus one of the total membership, including at least two LSB members. Okay? Pro tem officers will be elected at the committee's first meeting of the year with all LSB members in attendance able to vote. Permanent officers will be elected at the third meeting following a roll call that determines the voting membership and quorum.
Sue Stack.
Bella to the
Go
stack.
Go ahead, Sue.
Grace for the stack.
Right.
King Riley to the stack.
Craig King, I will put you on the stack.
Fred for the stack.
We're going to run out of time, people, but let's go.
It sounds like you're reading those from the ongoing bylaws as opposed to the recent
This is it.
Amendment.
This is exactly
right.
It. You all received it in your inbox. I sent it to everyone. I read it exactly verbatim.
Right, but you left out the amendment, I think.
This is it, Sue. Open up your PDF that I just sent you. This is it. I read it verbatim.
That's the ongoing one. The ongoing language.
I don't know what
Not
you mean
the,
by ongoing. This is the one that was supposedly approved by the LSB in October.
It doesn't sound right. It doesn't sound like the same thing.
Okay. Belle, you're next.
Yes, I have the same issue, and I would like Michael Novick to stand up and speak to this issue, please.
Okay, Grace is next.
Okay. It appears to me that the first three meetings of the year set the initial membership of the committee. However, if someone attends from there on out,
Please mute if you're not speaking. Thank you. Go ahead, Grace.
Okay. So you have your initial membership in the committee, and that is composed of LSC members and non-LSC members who attend the first three meetings in a row, all three meetings.
Yep.
First three meetings of the year. And that sets the initial membership of the committee. However, thereafter, anyone who attends three meetings in a row who wasn't initially a member becomes a member after having attended their third meeting in a row. So the committee can, members can be added to the committee and members can be removed from the committee if they fail. I believe it's if they miss three meetings in a row.
Correct. Language isn't in the policy, Grace.
Yeah,
there's nothing about...
It is in there.
It is not. I just read it to you. There's nothing about members...
Yeah, I listened to it. Let me get
It is.
Bella, okay.
Please don't interrupt. Please don't interrupt.
Okay. Kim,
if you could find it, I'll be happy. It also says that the quorum will be determined at the first three after the first three meetings. I'm just saying this is contradictory,
Kim,
Grace. It says what you say. It also says what I just said. It's contradictory. And
okay.
I'm not advocating for anything.
Okay. Let's stop. It says here, I can't find it exactly, but I'll find it. Any non-LSC member who is a listener or staff member in good standing of KPFK who attends the first three regular meetings of the committee.
Number six. Okay.
Will be considered a committee member in good standing and eligible to vote. Until the maximum is reached, non-members of the LSC may also join by attending any three consecutive meetings.
Okay.
Any three consecutive meetings. So, therefore, Kim, let me give you my rationale.
Please read number nine, which contradicts this. It says in number nine, membership of the committee will be set at the third meeting, inclusive of all LSB and non-LSB members who attend all three meetings, which will determine the quorum for future meetings. So it's contradictory. Here it's saying three meetings, you set the committee for the year. The other one says three times, and we can have more members. It's contradictory, Grace. I don't know what is right or wrong.
Personal privilege.
Okay. Stop.
Sue Stack.
I'm just going to
I'll put you on the stack.
I would rather not be interrupted. I understand, Kim, that that's your interpretation, okay? It's ridiculous. If you take this, it's ridiculous. If two people, if you have 12 members on a committee and the quorum then is 7 and two people quit, it doesn't set the quorum forever. The quorum changes if two people quit. Let's be logical here. So the thing is, it says here that the initial membership is decided by people who are committed enough to attend the first three meetings in all three of the first three meetings of the year. After that, and that's the first membership, and that sets the quorum. But people, if they attend three meetings in a row, can be added to the committee, and then the quorum changes. Okay, that's
okay.
The logical, most practical interpretation of this. Maybe it needs, the wording needs to be tweaked slightly and brought to be changed to the LSB. That could happen in the governance committee. But the point is, it cannot be frozen. It's nonsensical to freeze the committee membership to the people, to only the people who attend the first three meetings in a row. Because people will quit.
Grace,
let me just make one point here.
Don't
argue with me. Let other people talk.
I'm going to just say
if you put yourself on the stack, if you want to speak, you are not on the stack. You're the chair. That does not give you special privileges. You are
okay,
a member.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Just like everyone else, please let everybody have their turn.
Grace, the issue here is who can vote in this freaking chair election, not who's going to be a member after that. Okay? And in number 9, it says where, number 10, it says where the permanent officers will be elected at the third meeting, following a roll call that determines the voting membership and quorum. That is what is at issue. You know, as to whether people can come on after that, that is separate. We just need to get this stupid election done. Please, people, let's just decide what we're going to do, which of these things we're going to follow. Go ahead, Michael. Well, I have King, Fred, and Sue again, and then Michael Novick. King hasn't spoken. Go ahead, King.
I came onto the meeting at 4:30. I just wanted to tell you that. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Fred, go ahead.
Thank you. I just wanted to comment on point 7 of this policy. If LSB members or non-LSB members' desires of membership exceed the maximum, selection will be by lot. Well, the definition of the maximum is in point 7, and it was removed by the LSB. Therefore, there's no definition of maximum, because there's no limit to the number of non-LSB members or public members of the committee. Therefore, the committee maximum doesn't exist.
Okay, Fred, we're just trying to determine who can vote in this chair election. Okay,
that's something
the governance committee, and I understand your point, but that we just need to get this election done. Michael Novick, go ahead.
Yeah, so just to refresh everybody's memory, the reason we have this at all is because there was some confusion about why we have pro tem officers. The idea is that when the committee is reconstituted here, there are new members of the LSB sometimes, there are new members of the public who get involved, and we wanted to accommodate them by allowing the committee to have pro tem officers for the first three meetings, at the end of which we would elect permanent officers. Once you're elected the permanent officer, you're a permanent officer for the rest of the year. Whether the membership committee changes after that doesn't matter. However, we did not have our election third meeting. So, therefore, the fact that we missed that is problematic. At this point, if somebody is a member by having been at three consecutive meetings, I think they should be allowed to vote, as, for example, to speak. So, you know, had we done what was in the policy, and the policy was in effect before the third meeting of this committee, then we would have done it under the terms that it said, and the people who voted would have been the people who were at those first three meetings. But since we're not doing it until now, if somebody has become a member, they should be allowed to vote.
You know, I mean, Alan Beek is still not eligible because he missed, he only attended the last two meetings, Michael. You know, I don't want to exclude Alan.
Right.
I don't want to exclude Alan.
This is John Tatum. This is John Tatum. May I be on the stat?
John, you're not a member of this committee, okay?
He's a member of the public.
Sorry,
he has the right.
He doesn't have the right.
John, it says in what you read, it says that people have a voice who are participating. If they're asked for the chair and they ask the chair for permission, they're allowed to speak.
And we voted that down like two meetings ago.
That is wrong.
Sue, go ahead. You're next on the
stack.
You
can't vote that down, and John Tatum always has the right to speak. And the first, in Part 7, it explains the basic rule. And then in Part 9, it explains a further detail of the rule.
And so in 10 does it also. And it contradicts that.
Look, and please allow Mr. Tatum to speak.
The subsequent explanation trumps the previous generalization.
Does anyone have a motion here as what they want to do for this election?
Sue does.
A motion that you allow Mr. Tatum, the parliamentarian, the PNB parliamentarian, to speak. I motion that you allow him. There should be no motion to allow the public to speak.
Bella, you're not recognized.
Sue would like to make a motion.
Okay.
I moved that the... Well,
my
I want mine to go on...
For today, we use the list that was on the agenda for this meeting. Those are people who've been here for three meetings. They're competent. They've been working.
Alan,
you can worry about the fine-tuning of the rules later. But for today, we can just take that list and go with it. That's my suggestion.
Alternate motion that the Section 9 be recognized as part and parcel of Section 7. And why would they have put it? Why would they have put in some subsequent discussion of the generalized rules unless they wanted them to apply? It doesn't make sense to put that in if it doesn't apply.
Janine, go ahead.
Janine, to the staff.
Go ahead.
Okay, I move that we allow John Tatum, the parliamentarian, to speak on his opinion on how to move forward and follow his recommendation.
No, I object to that.
I second.
That's an open-ended.
Okay. That's not the question that we are trying to solve here. The question
is,
who votes?
I'm moving that we take a vote on it.
Okay, before I take a vote, I want to ask John Tatum, who is paying him? Who is his client? Because he's not part of this committee, and he's not part of this.
The public is allowed to speak, and you are acting as a dictator. That cannot be intolerable.
Why are we allowing members of the public to speak?
Other committees don't have this problem. They listen to the parliamentarian.
That's,
and the public. He is a public
he is not,
member.
He is a parliamentarian, but not the parliamentarian of this committee. He is
Can
obviously
we put this
getting
vote?
Of the public, and you are preventing the public from being heard. You are acting as a dictator.
You're quite right. I am a member of the public who happens to be a parliamentarian, and I am
John
not a parliamentarian.
John Tatum, don't you want to ask to be recognized like you recommend everybody else to be recognized? I'm going to take a vote. Who wants,
no,
to,
he's
who wants to hear from John Tatum?
I suggest that you should be
taken
out of this
committee
right away.
Who wants to hear from John Tatum? How do you vote, Grace? How do you vote, Grace? Grace, how do you vote? Grace, how do you vote? Do you want to hear from John Tatum?
Yes.
Okay. Alan Beek, how do you vote? Alan Beek? Fred Blair?
No.
Sue Cohen Johnson?
Yes.
Bella DeSoto?
Yes.
Raymond Goldstone?
No.
Michael Heiss?
I'm sorry, Kim. I got disconnected. I apologize. Could you briefly tell me what we're voting on?
Do we want to let John Tatum talk?
Abstain.
To advise us.
Theoretically. Janine to the floor. That's not the motion.
We are in the middle of a vote.
But you did not explain it correctly.
The motion is to let John Tatum talk.
No, it isn't. To follow his recommendation.
He's a public member.
You can't pass him. Stop. You can't motion that we're going to follow his recommendation. We follow his recommendation if we agree with it.
But you
can. The motion is to let John Tatum talk.
No, that wasn't the motion.
Stop, everybody. Stop. Michael Hyde,
point of information. Point of information.
I abstain.
Beth, point of information.
Go ahead, Beth.
Thank you. I am wondering whether we're voting to hear Mr. Tatum in his capacity as a public member or in his capacity as parliamentarian.
In his capacity as a public person. He's not a member, a public person. Dave Johnson, how do you vote?
May I be
How do
recognized?
You vote, Dave Johnson?
You're
Dave Johnson
vote
votes no.
A motion that was not what was said.
Steve Kaiser, how do you vote? Steve Kaiser? Kim Kaufman votes no. Michael Novick, how do you vote?
Yes.
King Riley?
No.
Janine Rohn?
Yes.
Ruth Strauss?
Abstain.
Kim, this is Jonathan Markowitz.
Beth Don Gunton, how do you vote?
I don't think we have the right to deny him the floor to speak as
Beth,
a
Beth, just
a
how do you vote? How do you vote? Beth?
Pass.
Chair, this John is Wanger. Jonathan Markowitz. I'm a member of this committee.
No, you're not, Jonathan. We're
I've
in the middle
waiting.
Of a vote, Jonathan. We're in the middle of a vote.
I know
Please
that.
Stop.
I've been trying to wait for a moment to address the chair so I can be logged in as having been on this meeting.
Okay,
been
that,
on for,
John, we're in
least half
the
an hour already.
Of a vote. We're in the middle of a vote. Please stop. John Wanger, how do you vote?
I vote yes to hear some good new ideas.
Okay, so Beth Von Gunten passed.
I'm going to abstain. I'm not sure this was a proper vote. I don't think we should be voting on whether to hear from members of the public if our rule is that we hear from members of the public.
Correct.
Well, as I said, we voted several meetings ago. No.
No, we did not. No,
yes,
we
did
not.
That. Okay, Bella, stop. Anyways, the vote is yes, 6, no, 5. Go ahead, John Tatum.
Okay. Good evening. And thank you, board as a whole, for letting me speak as a public member who happens to be a parliamentarian. And I volunteer to come to some of these meetings. And so I'm volunteering tonight because I have another meeting that I've been on and I'm supposed to be on. So, but what I wanted to do was to help you guys get through this matter that you're considering now. And I can tell you that I like Michael Novick's interpretation, and I would probably adopt it, and that is, it's almost like first come, first serve. The first three people that get there in the first 3 months, you're it. And so in that third month, you elect your chair. What happens if you don't elect a chair that third month? Then let's say you do it at the fourth month. Well, then you've opened a can of worms. You have let other people have three consecutive meetings. And what if you don't have the election the fifth month? You're letting even more people have three consecutive meetings to become a voting member of this committee. So, we're at the point now where it's not just the first three people. We can't be, because you made a violation when you didn't have the election in the third month. It'd be over with. So that's all I was going to say. And one other thing, the parliamentarian, makes an opinion that does not have to be accepted by anyone. As a matter of fact, the chair of a committee or board can accept the parliamentarian's opinion or can deny it and have her own or his own. So it's my words are only an opinion. And so I'm going to refer to what Mike Novus said earlier. You opened the door and you let other people have three consecutive meetings, and therefore they're voting members. Okay, thank you, and that's all.
Let me just respond that, first of all, this process was started like three meetings ago, and the members of this committee have not been able to agree on the policy. Okay, and I would recommend that you might want to read the policy,
lie.
John.
It's a lie. You are
okay,
lying,
it's a lie.
Madam. You are lying.
We did vote.
You have to
now,
derail.
The thing is that if you want to look at the last meetings, the...
You have derailed. You personally, individually have derailed this process. You started doing it in February.
Kim,
you eliminated.
May Fred be
you
recognized for the floor?
Yes, Fred. Bella does not have the floor. Go ahead, Fred.
Yeah, I move that we eliminate the three people that you named that did not meet the three-meeting rule from the election, and that you present the list of names that did meet the three-meeting rule to Terry Goodman to mail the ballots to, and we perform the chair election for this committee. Thank you.
Okay. I am updating right now with today's who was here, and that will make Alan Beach, that will make Alan Beach eligible. No, will it? 1, 2, 3. But now we'll make Steve Kaiser ineligible because he missed the last meeting because he was doing taxes.
If he missed us, he's a member from the first three meetings.
Okay.
And he's been
And Kim, that does not affect Ken Aaron.
And Ruth has a point of information, please.
Yes.
I just wanted to know, the CAB has not met. It has not, you know, done anything. So even though I'm, you know, quote unquote elected, it has not had any meetings. So does that mean I still cannot vote?
I have no idea.
I've been a member for
a
year
and a half. I have no idea.
Bella to the stack to answer that, please.
As far as I know, Ruth, you've been accepted by the CAB as a member.
And she hasn't been seated yet.
That's true. That's absolutely correct.
She's not yet been seated.
She has not been yet seated. And not only that, the committee has not taken up any work, has not done no work. Therefore, she can make an election to remove herself from the CAB and remain in this committee where she's needed very much.
This is Michael Novick. I need to leave the call. I have the governance committee at 6 o'clock.
Yeah, I know. We all do.
And I am a nominator. I nominate myself, as you know, to chair this committee. So please put my name in there as well.
So that doesn't here are the members.
Can Michael just address it because he may know?
He's gone.
Okay. All right. I can settle it and then we can.
I just explained that you have to elect to remove yourself from the CAB.
Bella, you don't have the floor. Stop. You don't have the floor.
This is Janine. Can I be recognized?
Go ahead, Janine.
I move to adjourn.
No.
Second,
well, okay,
no.
Let's take a vote, because I want to determine this and get this thing over with.
Bella, right, but so many of us, we're missing the governance committee meeting.
I understand.
Let's
Who
vote.
Wants to Bye-bye. Adjourn? And who wants to finish this? How do you vote, Grace? Grace?
I think we should adjourn.
You don't want to just finish this in 5 minutes?
I don't think it'll be finished in 5 minutes. And,
I think we can finish it in 5 minutes.
Okay. We're losing members to another committee. Which taints the vote and decision. I say continue this meeting after the governance committee meeting if you want to.
No. Well, we have another meeting in 3 weeks, so we'll, okay. Are there any objections to adjourning? I have none now. I don't care. Any objections to adjourning? No objections. We're adjourned.